If you would open up your Bible with me this morning, we're going to be looking at yet another parable in the Gospel of Luke as we have been traveling through the Gospel of Luke and looking for the last several weeks at different parables. This morning we're going to look at a parable on the subject of prayer in Luke chapter 18, reading from verses 1 to 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" Let's pray. Well, Lord, open our hearts this morning. We thank you that you have given us your word, which we know is holy, we know is perfect, we know it is free from error, and we know it is truth. We know, Lord, that you have spoken as you spoke long ago. This word is spoken to us today, and it is timeless. It is as relevant now as it was thousands of years ago. And so we pray that you would open our hearts so that we may receive your word with joy and understand it and apply it and live it out. Lord, help us in these things as we reflect on this scripture this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When it comes to the subject of prayer, we live in a country where I think if you took a poll, most people would say they believe in prayer and they think prayer is a good thing. However, if you took a poll and people were honest about how many people actually really practice prayer in their lives on a regular basis, I think that many of those same people who say they think prayer is a great idea don't necessarily practice prayer all that much. Some of you may know or have heard the name Richard Halvorson. Richard Halvorson was a very well-known Presbyterian pastor. He was also the chaplain of the U.S. Senate from 1981 to 1994. And he told a story about a time when he was part of a very large event at a very large church. It was an annual men's dinner. And at this particular church, it was such a large church that at this men's dinner, they had a senator, one of the U.S. senators, who was speaking at this men's dinner. And before the senator got up to speak, the topic that they had been discussing at this men's dinner was the subject of prayer. And specifically, they were talking about prayer in public schools. And so the senator got up to speak, and he asked the whole group of men who were gathered there, literally hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of men, and he said, "How many of you support the idea of prayer in the public schools?" And virtually every single hand went up and said, "Yes, of course, we support prayer in the public schools." And then that same senator asked that same group of men, "How many of you pray daily with your children at home?" And only a few hands went up in the whole audience. You see the irony there? Here you had this massive group of people gathered that says, "Of course we need prayer in the public schools, and this is important for our children. But do we pray at home with our children?" Very few of them actually did. And you know, what that reveals to us is something important about this whole phenomenon of prayer, and that is that many of us, if we're honest, we think prayer is important, but we don't necessarily dedicate very much time to doing it in our personal lives. Well, why is that? And we could list hundreds of reasons. We could talk about how the fact that people are so busy these days that they just can't seem to find time to prioritize prayer in their lives. We could talk about how there's so much noise in our lives, there's so much media in our lives that we have a hard time just unplugging and having quiet time to talk to God. We could talk about how people just aren't used to praying, and so they're not really even sure how to go about doing it. All those things are true, but you know what I think is the number one and the more fundamental reason why we don't spend more time in prayer? I think it's because we've really forgotten who God is. We've forgotten who God is and what he is like in the scriptures. And if we forget who he is, we're not going to have any motivation to pray. To put this a little bit differently, if we want to jumpstart our prayer life, we have to know something about the God to whom we are praying. Before we can see why prayer is important, we have to know something about this God we are praying to. And if we don't know anything about him, we're not going to be very motivated to pray at all. Let me explain what I mean by that. I think what we see in this passage, in Luke chapter 18, it is a passage about prayer. But more fundamentally, it's a passage about God's character and how that relates to prayer. And if we don't get God's character right and understand who he is, we're never going to really have much motivation or incentive to pray. And this passage shows us some really core characteristics about who God is. And I believe that if you understand these characteristics of God and you let them take root in your bloodstream, it's going to motivate you to pray like you've never prayed before. So let's look at a few of these things. First of all, and these are very basic, they seem almost absurdly basic, but the first thing you see in this passage about God is that God is willing to answer prayer. He is a God who is willing to answer prayer. Now, if you're not careful, you can misinterpret this parable very badly. In fact, many people come to this parable and they interpret it the exact opposite way of how it's supposed to be interpreted. In this parable, Jesus tells a story about a widow. And the widow has someone who is persecuting her. She has someone she needs legal protection from this person. We don't know what was going on, but that's not relevant. She needed legal protection, and so she was going to this judge in the city that she lived in to try to get legal protection, to try to get justice on her behalf. And so she continued to go to this judge, and he was not responding at first. But then look at verse 4 again with me and see what happens. It says, "For a while, he refused. But afterward, he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.'" Now, we learn two things about this judge straight away. First of all, he doesn't fear God, does he? Says he does not fear God. In other words, he doesn't care what God thinks, and he doesn't care about God's law. He doesn't care about making decisions that are consistent with what God would do in terms of justice. So that's number one. Secondly, it says he doesn't respect man. So he doesn't fear God, doesn't care what God thinks. He also doesn't care what people think. He doesn't care about what his peers think. He has no respect for others. So he's just going to do his own thing. This is not a righteous judge. In fact, it says he's an unrighteous judge. And yet, he gives justice to this widow. Why? Because it says that she just wore him down. She went to him day after day after day, and she wore him down so much that he finally said, "I gotta get rid of this lady. She is annoying me, and I need to get her off of my back. So I'm going to give her justice because I want to get rid of her." Here's the conclusion Jesus draws from this. Verse 6, it says, "And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them?'" Now, let's stop right there for a minute. This is where many people misinterpret the parable. They interpret it the exact opposite way it's supposed to be interpreted. Many people look at this and they immediately think, okay, God is like the judge. The widow wore down the judge, and she went to him so many times. She persisted, and she persisted, and persisted. Finally, he said, "I can't take it anymore. I'm giving in, and I'll give her what she wants to get her off my back." That must be sort of what God is like. We pray to him, and he doesn't want to answer our prayer, but if we just wear him down long enough, if we just keep going, finally he'll get so sick of hearing from us that he'll give us what we want. That's sort of, it's kind of a more crude way of putting it, but that's sort of how many people interpret this parable. But that is not the point that Jesus is trying to make. In this parable, the point is not that God is like that unrighteous judge. The point is that he's not like that unrighteous judge. In other words, what Jesus is doing here is he's drawing a contrast, not a comparison. See the difference? He's not comparing the two. He's contrasting the two, and he's saying that if even this unrighteous judge who doesn't fear God, he doesn't respect man, he's a horrible person, if even this deadbeat will give justice to this lady, then how much more Will the righteous God, who cares about his people, answer their needs? You see that contrast? That's the point that Jesus is trying to make, that God is willing to answer prayer. God isn't like that judge. The judge was unrighteous and unwilling. God is righteous, and he is willing to answer prayers. And you know why the number one reason is that he's willing? Is because, according to Scripture, if you're a believer, you are God's son or daughter, and he is your father. And as your father, he wants to answer the prayers of his children. Did you notice the language that's used here in verse 7? It says, "Will not God give justice to his elect?" Now, what does the elect mean? Well, if you're reading the NIV, it's translated as God's chosen ones. This is referring to believers. This is referring to the people who've believed in God, the people who, to use another phrase from Scripture to talk about the same group of people, are children of God. And so what this is saying is that God is willing to answer prayers because he loves his children, and he is their father. And why wouldn't a father want to answer the prayers of his children? He loves them. You know, sometimes I think we don't pray because we sort of view God as the grumpy old judge, like in the parable. And we think, well, he's not going to want to answer any prayer of mine, or he just simply can't be bothered. But that's not at all the picture of God that we find here or in the Scriptures. As I said, God is like a loving father who wants to attend to the needs of his children. Imagine the picture of a small child who wakes up in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock in the morning, let's say, and feels sick, and goes to his father's room and needs medicine or needs water. And is that father going to turn his child away and say, "No, I just can't be bothered"? Of course not. What does a loving father do? He embraces his child. He does everything he possibly can for his child. That is like what we are, the position we are in as believers. We're like a little child who can go to our father in the middle of the night, and he's waiting to take care of our needs because he loves us. This is the first thing we see, is that we have to understand that God is willing to answer prayers. He is not only willing, but he's anxious to hear from us. And if we don't understand that he's willing, we're never going to be motivated to pray. If we believe in a God who's not really willing, why would we want to pray? But if God is willing, of course we'd want to go to him, wouldn't we? That's why Jesus says in Matthew 7, he says, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children." In other words, if we all know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more, he says, will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? First thing we need to understand, if we're going to transform our prayer lives, is that we have a God who is willing to answer prayer. He's not like the judge, but he is willing because we are his children. The second characteristic that you see about God, though, in this passage, and again, this is very simple, but very profound, is that God is able to answer prayer. He's not just willing, but he's able. Now, as I've already really stressed here, the point in this parable is that God is not like that unrighteous judge. It's a contrast, not a comparison. But there is one connection we might make, and that is that just as in this parable, the widow goes to the judge because she knows that the judge is the only one who can provide what she needs. She needs legal protection. She needs an answer. She knows he's the only one who can give it to her. In a similar way, we, as children of God and people who desire to pray, go to God, or should go to God, because he's the only one who can answer many of our prayers. God is the sovereign Lord of the universe, is in control of all things, and the one who created all things. And therefore, who else should we go to answer prayers than the one who has the power to answer prayers and is sovereign over all the earth? There's really no other logical place to turn. This may seem like a ridiculously simple point, but I think most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we forget this all the time. Now, you may sit there and say, "Well, that's a simple point. Of course, we know God is able to answer prayers, right?" But the truth is that many of us have serious issues that we're dealing with in our lives, serious problems, serious troubles, serious needs, and oftentimes we don't take them to the Lord because deep down, we just don't believe he's going to do anything about it to change them. We say, "Oh, yeah, I know, God answers prayer, right? Yeah, prayer's a great thing." Meanwhile, we're dealing with 100 really big things in our lives, and we don't really spend a lot of time praying because, if we're honest with ourselves, we just don't really believe it's going to make much difference. You know what that is? That's believing that God isn't able to do it. Is he able or not? What kind of a God do we believe in? The one who's able to do far more abundantly than we could ever think or even dream of? Or just a God who, he's not really going to change anything in my life? You know, we always talk about reasons why we don't pray, and there could be many reasons why we don't pray, but you know what? The bottom line is, I think oftentimes we don't pray, we have a weak prayer life, because our faith in God is weak, and our faith in what he can actually do is weak. But if we understand that God is powerful, he's able to do anything, then why wouldn't we be going to him all the time? I mean, we have access to the Almighty God, who's not only willing, but he is able. With that kind of access, we should be going to God all the time. You look at the scriptures, and you see this all over the place. You see in the scriptures not only that God is sovereign over all things, not only that he created all things, but that he answers prayer in powerful ways in many different situations and times. I was looking at this past week, and I was thinking about God answering prayer and the way that he answers prayer and does powerful things throughout the scriptures. And I started kind of thinking through different places in the scriptures where God answers prayers, where it shows that he is able to answer prayers. He's not just willing, but that he's able to do it. And then you start looking at this, you see example after example after example. It's stunning. Just to give you a few examples of this kind of power, we see many places, but let me give you a few. We see God providing children through the power of prayer. At the beginning of the book of Samuel, you encounter a woman named Hannah who could not have children, and in 1 Samuel 1:10 it says, she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. Hannah prayed to the Lord. And it says that later on, we see that the Lord answers that prayer, provides her with a child who would be named Samuel, who would become the first great prophet in all of Israel. And this is what Hannah says in 1 Samuel 1:27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. God providing children through the power of prayer. We see God controlling nature through the power of prayer. When you look at the prophet Elijah, he prayed that God would change the weather patterns, and it happened. Listen to this. This is what it says about Elijah in James 5. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. In other words, he was just like you and I. He wasn't a superhuman. He was a regular human being. He was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and earth bore its fruit. We have God controlling nature here through the power of prayer. Let me give you another one. We see God breaking people out of prison through the power of prayer. This is amazing. In Acts 12, the beginning of Acts 12, we're told that Herod was persecuting the church. And James, the brother of John, who was one of the early church leaders, was arrested and then executed because he was one of the leaders. Then, immediately after that, Peter is also put into prison. And he's probably going to be executed as well. That's where everything is heading. It doesn't look very good. So, what happens when Peter, who's another pillar of this church, this early movement in its early stages, what happens when he's put into prison? What does the church do? Do they go down to the prison and they surround it and put up signs and say, "Let Peter out! Let Peter out!" and have a protest? No, they don't do that. Do they hatch a scheme and try to do a jailbreak? Try to break into the prison and break him out? No, they don't do that either. What do they do? It says, tells us right in the book of Acts. Acts 12:5 says this. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. And what we read in Acts 12 is that the night before, Peter is probably going to be tried and executed. The church is gathered, and they are praying all night for Peter. They're basically having an all-night prayer vigil, okay? And here's what happens. This is incredible. Just listen to this. This is in Acts 12, starting in verse 6. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. This is a lot of security. He had two soldiers on either side of him. He had chained up with double chains, sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, peered out of nowhere. A light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell from his hands. The angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. And when they had passed the first and the second guard, two sets of guards, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. And it opened for them of its own accord. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. All of that was because of prayer. Because the church gathered and was praying for Peter, and they knew that God was able to do something in this situation. They didn't believe that God just, you know, well, he's not really going to change this situation. I mean, how many of us, you know, somebody gets put into jail and we throw up our hands and we'd say, "Well, I don't really believe God could do a miracle and get somebody out of this jam." They believed it, and God did it because God is able to do it. Those examples I just gave you are the tip of the iceberg. Those are just three examples in the entire Bible of God working through the power of prayer. And what this shows us is that God is not just willing to answer prayer, but he's able to do it because he's sovereign over all things. And if that's the case, then what are we waiting for when it comes to prayer? We've got access to the Almighty God. We should be going to him all the time. So we see those two characteristics, but let me give you one more characteristic this morning that's very, very clearly taught in this passage, and that is that God isn't just willing to answer prayer, and he's not just able to answer prayer, but we also see that God is responsive to persistent prayer in this passage. The primary lesson that Jesus is trying to get across is stated very clearly in the first verse. Verse 1 of chapter 18 says, "He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." In other words, one of the main things Jesus wanted them to see in this passage was, I want you to pray persistently and continually and not lose heart. Why not lose heart? Because he promises to be responsive to persistent prayer. That's why they don't need to lose heart or give up. And you know, this is something that we see throughout the scriptures, this idea that prayer was never intended to be something that was just a once in a while thing or just a here and there thing, but a thing that was persistent in our lives. Listen to just a few other places. Romans 12:12 says, "Be constant in prayer." Ephesians 6:18 says, "Pray at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication." Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." The list goes on and on and on. In other words, prayer was always intended to be something that was not just a 15-second thing that maybe we do once in a while before a meal, but it was something that was intended to be a continual part of our lives that we engage in persistently. And, you know, one of the major questions that people wrestle with today is, well, what if God doesn't answer those prayers? You might be thinking to yourself, well, this all sounds fine and good, Stephen, all about this persistent prayer, but, you know, I've got things I've prayed for in my life, and what I haven't heard an answer to them yet. So what does this mean? And, you know, probably every one of us can relate to that. So what is it? How are we to even think about this when we feel like God hasn't answered our prayer? And, you know, the truth of the matter is there's not just one answer to that. There could be many different reasons why we feel like God has not answered our prayer. One possibility is that our desires are not in line with God's desires. And Katie kind of mentioned this during the children's message, that sometimes the things that we want for our lives are not the things that God desires for our lives. You know, when we go to God in prayer, we do. We lift up our desires to him. That's part of what praying is all about. And yet we recognize that sometimes God knows better than we do about what we really need in our lives. And so sometimes his will is not our will. And so, yes, prayer is lifting up our desires to God, but prayer is also submitting our wills to God. That's why in the Lord's Prayer we say, "Thy will be done." Not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. Maybe his will is slightly different than our will. That could be a reason why we feel like God has not answered our prayer. Another reason why maybe we feel like God hasn't answered our prayer is that maybe our timing is off. You know, sometimes our timing is not God's timing. We pray for somebody, we say, God, I need this right now. Give it to me right now. And if I don't get it right now, everything's going to just be total disaster. Sometimes God knows, you know what? Right now is not the best time for this for you right now. Sometimes God knows that maybe you're not ready for that yet. And maybe he is going to answer that prayer in the exact way that you prayed it, but maybe it's a not yet. You know, it's a reminder that God, sometimes people say, well, why didn't God answer my prayer? God always answers our prayer. Sometimes just the answer isn't always yes. Sometimes the answer is a no, like we said in the first case. Sometimes it's a not yet or wait. And that could be a reason. Third possibility is that maybe we're just not listening. You know, we pray for different things. Sometimes we pray that God would answer a specific prayer, and he does answer that prayer, but he answers it in a way that we didn't expect, in a way that we didn't picture, but it was maybe even better than what we had originally asked for. I think it was Martin Luther who said, sometimes we pray for silver and God gives us gold. In other words, sometimes God answers our prayer, but he doesn't answer it in precisely the way that we asked for it, but he still answered it. And the question is, are we open to what God might have planned for our lives? Are we only open to, here's how I want you to answer this prayer request, God, and if you don't answer it in the exact way that I have pictured, well then, I know you're just not even listening. Well, who's not listening there? Is he not listening, or am I not listening? We got to think about that. There's lots of reasons that we might feel like God hasn't answered our prayer. And those are three right there. But let me add a fourth one for you this morning. And the fourth one is right in our passage today. And the fourth one is, maybe God hasn't answered our prayer because we haven't prayed persistently enough. You know, this passage talks about basically that God is responsive to persistent prayer. And yet sometimes we wonder why God isn't answering our prayer. Perhaps one possibility is that we really haven't prayed very much about it. You know, many of us treat prayer kind of like a 911 call. We never pray, but then when we get into a jam, okay, now I'm going to throw up a prayer to God. That's the only time I've prayed in the last 6 years. And then we wonder why I don't feel like I'm really connected with God. I don't feel like he's really answering my prayers. I don't feel like he's hearing me. And maybe the answer is that we've barely spent any time talking to him. And how can we hear his will? How can we hear his desires for our lives? How can we see what we truly need and what he has for us if we haven't spent any time in persistent prayer? We've got to consider this and understand that God is responsive to persistent prayer. You know, I can look back on my life and I can see several different periods of time in my life where God answered prayer in amazing ways. And I can also tell you this. Every single one of those times were times when I was praying persistently about it, about something. Every time I've seen God work in amazing ways through the power of prayer have been times when I've been really engaged in prayer. And the times when I've been more detached in my prayer life, which is so easy to do, it's so easy to let it slide, then I begin to not see God at work as much. Well, hello. It's like a light bulb goes on, but we so easily forget, don't we? We so easily forget. We so easily let it slide. And you know what? I can guarantee you that if you pray persistently, if you pray the way the Scriptures call us to pray, if you seek the Lord day after day and month after month, he will answer your prayers. I can guarantee you that this morning. I will guarantee it. He may not answer precisely in the way you had hoped or the way you had asked, but he'll answer, and I guarantee it. So today we've got a choice. Question is, what kind of a God do we believe in? Because as I said, there may be many reasons why we neglect prayer in our lives, but probably the most fundamental reason is we've forgotten who God is. Do you believe in a God who is willing to answer prayers because you understand that he is your father, and if you're a believer, then you are his child, and he's willing and eager and anxious to hear you? Do you believe in him and know that that is true? Do you believe in the God who is sovereign over all of the universe? If he created the entire universe, then how is he not able to address your various prayer needs and change the things that need change in your life? Of course he is. Of course he is. But do you believe in him? And do you believe in the God who responds to persistent prayer, who we go to, and he will hear? He will attend to our needs. You know, if we don't have that understanding of God, then we're probably not going to have a very engaged prayer life. But if we see who God is, as we have seen today in this passage, it's not only going to refuel us when it comes to prayer, but I guarantee you, you're going to see the power of prayer in your own life and see what God can do through this. Here's how Jesus put it. Luke 11:9, Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened." Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks this morning, and we give you thanks that through the gospel, through the cross of Christ, we can not only have our sins forgiven, we can not only have eternal life, but we can be adopted as your sons and daughters, as your children, Lord. So often we neglect this truth, but we thank you that through faith in Jesus Christ, we can become your children. And because we are your children, Lord, we thank you that we can come to you and pray to you, knowing that you are our Father who desires to answer our prayers. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who is so powerful beyond what we can even understand or imagine, that you can always address our needs, whatever they may be, and you can do far more, abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. Lord, help us to have faith in who you are and what you can do. Help us to be people of persistent prayer. Lord, we acknowledge to you this morning that this is such an easy thing to neglect in our lives, and in fact, we have neglected it, Lord. Most of us have not prayed to you as we should. Forgive us, Lord, for the ways that we have neglected this gift that you have given us. Forgive us for the ways in which we have not spent time with you, pursuing you, and talking with you as our Father. Help us, Lord. Help us to be a people who are in constant communication with you, seeking your face, hearing your voice, following your will for your glory. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together now as we sing